They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside to the village. When he had spat on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't even go into the village." Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns."
Lovely. Thanks so much, Fiona. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray now that you would open our eyes by the power of your Spirit to see who Jesus truly is. We pray this in his name. Amen. Great. So my name is Laurent. I'm a member here at Christ Church. Been here for a little bit of time. And I'll be leading us through this passage this morning. Please do make sure that you keep it open. It's very tempting to have read it and then close it. But the reality is that is what this passage says, not what I say, that matters. So we've been working through the book of Mark, right? And there's lots that's been going on. Jesus has been preaching. He has been healing. But in many ways, this passage here is the biggest event that happens until the end. Now, what is that big event? Well, I'll let you guys keep your eyes open, because it'll happen later. So let's begin then. Let's think about this. Have you ever been in a situation where you've been stuck? You've been stuck, you couldn't get out. Yeah?
I was stuck in the bathroom and I couldn't get out.
You were stuck in the bathroom and why couldn't you get out? That reminds us of where that happened to someone else. Does that happen to you as well? Yeah, so another situation of being absolutely stuck. Okay, another one. Anyone else? All the way at the back? Where? In Mario Kart. Oh yeah, video games. Great places to get stuck, especially if there's a bug. I've seen a really interesting story of a child in America. If you look around, each of your chairs have a little hole in them. A child who got his head stuck in that hole. And they had to kind of saw the chair off. Now, in all of those situations, when you're stuck, the point is you can't get yourself out. Right? Whatever you do, you struggle, you cannot get yourself out. The only way to get out is what? If someone else gets you out. Now, what we're going to talk about is a way of getting stuck that's even worse than getting stuck inside of a bathroom. And for this, I need a volunteer. Yeah, go on. Come on. Okay, so you are going to get stuck in a way that most of us would find incredibly difficult. You're going to get stuck not able to see. Now imagine that. Imagine if you were not able to see anything. how would you feel? Right? You wouldn't be able to see your parents. You wouldn't be able to see your way home. Oh gosh, I have to actually do this now. So I'm going to blindfold you. And then your challenge is to find a doctor in the room that can help you. Right? There's only one. Actually, no, there's a few doctors. You need to find a doctor in the room that can help you after I've blindfolded you. And only a doctor, only a qualified doctor is able to heal you of this blindness.
Okay.
All right. All right, let's see. No hints. No cheating. Oh no, this isn't working, is it? So, unfortunately, I think Daniel's not going to make it. I don't think he's going to, like... Oh, wait! There you go. Well done. That was really good. You did much better than I thought you would. Thank you. You can have a seat. Blindness is hard, right? Because not only can you not see, you can't do anything when you can't see. And what's fascinating about the person that we're going to look at today is that he couldn't see. In fact, he couldn't even find his way to the doctor who could help him. So let's look again at our passage, page 1011, down on verse 22. They, Jesus' disciples and Jesus, they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. Do you notice that the blind man didn't go to Jesus? It's because he couldn't. He needed to be brought. And what's amazing, not only does he need to be brought, someone else asks for him. It's possible that in his blindness, he didn't even know that Jesus could heal him. You see that? They begged him. They begged Jesus to touch him. And so that's the first point. The blind man was helpless. He was stuck. He needed someone else to help him. But let's keep going. What happens after this? Because Jesus' response to this is incredible. What does he do? Let's look at verse 23. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. How do you lead someone who can't see? Do you point out where they should go? Do you give them instructions? Hey, you know, let's just head down the road, take your first left. You know, number 46 on this side. How do you do it? Yeah, you need to be led by hand. And what's incredible is that Jesus, look what it says, Jesus takes him by the hand. Jesus condescends. Jesus comes to where we're at and explains things to us in a way that we can understand. He takes him by the hands and holds him and brings him out. But it's also incredibly personal, isn't it? This isn't for show. If he wanted it to be for show, he'd find the biggest amphitheater. He'd be like, hey, everyone, look what I'm going to do. But no, he takes just this one blind man to the side, away from everyone else, to heal him. The point was to heal him. But now we find something that's a bit odd. Because most of the time when Jesus heals someone, what happens? How long does it take? Yeah. Normally everyone else wants to see. And normally when Jesus heals, it's like that. He just says the word and it happens. But look what happens here. Jesus goes out of his way to heal him. And does it actually work? Let's take a look. Second part of verse 23. When he, Jesus, had spat on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything? He looked up and said, I see people, they look like trees walking around. Now imagine that. You go to the doctor, you have blindness, and they say, we've got this amazing procedure for you, and if you undergo this procedure, you'll be able to see. And afterwards, you go out, and all you can make out is trees. Would you say that that's a successful procedure? It's interesting. Jesus goes out of his way, touches him, and it doesn't fully heal him. Why? Let's take a look. Look what he says. Look what he asks him at the end of verse 23. Do you see anything? You see, that echoes something that's just happened. Look up at verse 21. Jesus was in the boat with his disciples. We had this last week. Right? He'd done all these amazing things. And Jesus said, oh yeah, don't worry about the bread. Oh, what are we going to do with the bread? I mean, we only have one loaf. Oh no, if only someone could turn one loaf into many loaves. They didn't understand. Specifically, what does Jesus say to them? Do you still not understand? The point here is to show that someone can't see. Maybe not see right away. We'll get back to that. But the encouraging thing is that Jesus doesn't leave the man there. He doesn't halfway heal him and just say, all right, have a great life. See you later. Look what he does. 25, once more. Even though he couldn't see fully at the beginning, once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus can fully heal you. He can make you fully see. And in fact, he proved it because he actually did this. How do we know this isn't just a story, just a nice little fable? Take a look at verse 26. Jesus sent him home saying, don't even go into the village. He sent him home to the people who knew him best to say what happened. And so that's the first thing that we need to take from this passage, is that Jesus made a blind man see. He actually did that. Someone who's completely helpless. But he didn't do it all at once. And to help us think about that, I'm going to ask the music team to come forward. We're going to sing a song thinking about what it means for Jesus to have been able to do that. Think of your greatest heroes, your greatest football stars, the greatest generals in history. Did they ever walk up to someone who had been blind and helpless and healed them? So that's what we're going to meditate on for now. The power of Jesus to help someone who's completely helpless. Jesus, who's the greatest of all heroes. And this is the peak, right? This is the big event that I was talking about, which is the biggest event in Mark until the end. And to help us think about this, I've got a little challenge for you guys. I want to see if you can recognize who is in each of these photos. Okay? Can you do that? All right. I hear a lot of confident voices. Do you know who's in that photo? Who is it? Oh, is it Harry Kane? Oh, any other ideas? Yeah? Messi? All right, let's see. It was Harry Kane. Well done. It's a footballer, right? But it was hard, wasn't it? It was a bit blurry. But really well done. I didn't think anyone was going to get that. Well done. Okay, next one. Who is it? A manager. Yeah, it looks like someone who's in business. Yeah? Obama? No, not Obama. Yeah. No, it isn't Vladimir Putin. One more. Rishi Sunak. Let's see. Yes, it is. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak. All right, last one. Can we get that one? Yeah, all the way at the back. Yeah. It is King Charles. Well done. Excellent. Yeah, it does have a pretty distinct figure. Now, imagine if you couldn't recognize someone when they came in the room. Right? Imagine if Harry Kane came right now through the room and you didn't recognize him. In fact, you kind of ignored him. And then you walked up to him and started saying how good at football you were. Or what if Rishi Sunak came in? And you said, oh, okay, you know, you must be new to the church. Welcome, welcome. You know, I don't know if you know anything about Sawston. I mean, maybe you're new to the UK, but you can take a seat at the back. That wouldn't be right, would it? Or what if you got King Charles wrong? Welcome. You must be new. Can you hear clearly? Okay, we're going to have a sermon. It'd be terrible, wouldn't it, to get it wrong if you couldn't see someone clearly. And yet that's where the disciples are right now. They can't see Jesus clearly. They don't really know who he is. They spend a lot of time with him, but they're not able to recognize him. And that means that they don't always treat him the way they should. So let's take a look at this passage, because Jesus is set on making sure that that doesn't stay the same. Verse 27, Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" This is the most important question. Do you not yet understand verse 21? The blind man who can't see, and now this. They're all talking about the same thing. Who do people say I am? And the first answers, let's be honest, are a bit ridiculous. They replied, some say John the Baptist. John the Baptist literally died. Jesus was alive at the same time as John the Baptist. So he can't even be John the Baptist resurrected from the dead. Completely wrong. There's another word for that. It's called blindness. When you really can't see something, you get it completely wrong. Let's keep going. Others say Elijah. How many years before this was Elijah around? Does anyone know? How much earlier was Elijah born than Jesus? Guesses? Adults, you can help. About 700 years. So yeah, it could be Elijah if you were alive 700 years before. No. Okay, last one. Maybe this one's a bit closer. Still others, one of the prophets. That feels like it's closer, but actually there were thousands of prophets in the Old Testament. Is Jesus just another guy who's got some interesting things to say from God? And so that's the thing, right? So this is the blind man. He cannot see. He's standing in front of Jesus and he doesn't even ask for help. He can stand in front of Jesus. He wouldn't even know to go to him to have his blindness healed. But then Jesus makes it very pointed, right? Just like he was very personal with the blind man. He makes it very pointed. Verse 29. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? And this is what Caroline was saying at the beginning of the service. This is the most important question that you will ever encounter. And the reason it's the most important question you'll ever encounter is because of who Jesus actually is. If you get him wrong, it'll be worse than getting Harry Kane wrong walking through the door. It'll be worse than getting the Prime Minister wrong. Even worse than getting King Charles wrong. To get him wrong, to not see who he is to treat him incorrectly. And the more important the person is, the worse that is. And again, it's personal, right? Jesus asked, who do people say I am? Now he says, who do you say I am? This is meant for us. We're meant to read that and put ourselves in the place of Peter and the other disciples and ask ourselves the same question. Who do we think Jesus is? Now, Peter's answer makes me feel a little bit like I'm in Sunday school. All right, Stephen knows this. What are the three answers to every question in Sunday school? All right, what does Peter say? Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Yes, he got it, I think. He got it. He's the Messiah. Now, we use the word Messiah. That can be a bit confusing. Does anyone know what that means? Adults might need to help for this. Yeah, go for it.
It means Christ.
It means the same word as Christ. But then what does Christ mean? Is that one of those things where you go to the dictionary, you look up a word, and you keep going, you don't know what any of the words mean? What does Christ mean? Yeah. Close. Very close. Yeah, Paul, go ahead.
Anointed one.
It means anointed one. Anointed was something that would happen in the Old Testament. They'd put oil on someone to show that he was chosen. So this is God's chosen one. The most important chosen one. Peter has actually made a pretty big discovery. And the temptation now is to think, ha, clever Peter. He figured it out. He saw who Jesus really was. But let's not get ahead of ourselves, because Jesus really was just like that blind man. Let's turn quickly to Matthew 16. Sometimes other parts of the Bible can help us understand the current parts that we're reading. So Matthew chapter 16, page 983. Matthew records the same events, but he adds a little bit more detail. Okay, so Matthew chapter 16, verse 17. Just after verse 16, where Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God," Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." What does he mean by flesh and blood? By people, including himself. Peter didn't figure it out for himself, just like that blind man didn't heal himself. And this is a challenge for us. Do you think that you figured out for yourself who Jesus is? If you think that, you're wrong. It's impossible. The only reason you would know who Jesus is because God showed it to you, because God healed your blindness. And also applying to others, if there's someone you know who doesn't see Jesus, don't think that you can make them see. You cannot make them see Jesus any more than you can heal a blind man. Only God can do that. So that's the second thing. Jesus does make us see who he is. He makes us see who he is, not ourselves. But remember how that blind man was healed. Was it all at once? Let's keep reading, because what happens now? Jesus says, okay, you know that I'm the anointed one. Now I'm going to tell you who I am. Verse 31. Jesus then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, that he must be killed, and then after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this. He's not going to show them everything. He's not going to use parables. He's going to speak directly to them. And actually, maybe it's a bit surprising. Because you see, Peter here, he just figured out that he's with the head honcho. He's with the most important guy. He figured out who God's anointed is, and he's going to ride that ladder all the way to the top. Right? Imagine if no one in this room knew that King Charles came in the room, but you did. What would you do with that information? And yet, it doesn't seem really promising. Here's God's anointed. Here's God, the greatest man who's ever lived. And what's going to happen to him? He's going to be rejected by everyone who's in charge. That doesn't look like being in charge, does it? Specifically, he's going to be rejected by everyone who knows anything about God. The elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law. Okay, well, that's a bit of a curveball. But not only that, he's going to suffer. It's going to be painful. Suffer so much that he's going to get killed. It was all exciting for Peter until Jesus said all of this. Up until this moment, he's going to ride it to the top. And now it's like, oh gosh, if if the guy at the top is going to suffer and die, what's going to happen to me? Uh-oh. If the guy at the top is going to be rejected, what's going to happen to me? Does that happen when we think about Jesus? Do we look at Jesus and we say, Jesus, you're in charge, you're powerful, great. Now sort my life out, please. I figured out who you are, so like that means we have an understanding, and so like when things go wrong, you're going to sort it out, right? And it can be really subtle. What about that relationship you have with a parent that's really hard, with your child? You know Jesus, he healed the blind. He can sort your teenager out. What about difficulties at work? Work can be very hard and painful. It can have a lot of suffering. In fact, you can often feel rejected. Jesus wasn't rejected. He was anointed. He was chosen by God. So I'll be anointed. I'll be chosen by God. No, Jesus was rejected. And so this is amazing. Look what happens when you get it the wrong way around. When you misunderstand who Jesus is. When you see him a little bit, but you've misunderstood. Look what Peter does. Verse 32. At the end of that. And Peter took him aside, took Jesus aside, and began to rebuke him. How crazy do you have to be to take God himself to the side and start telling him off? Like, what's wrong with you? Do you know who it is? But when we have the wrong priorities, that's what we end up doing to God, isn't it? We end up telling him off. God, if I were you, I would have sorted that out. How could you have let that happen? Why aren't you answering my prayer now? And so do you see, maybe Peter is only partially healed at this moment. He sees Jesus a little bit, enough to know that his title is Messiah, but not enough to really understand him. And so look at what Jesus says. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. You don't rebuke God. God rebukes you. He rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan, he said. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. That's what blinds you to Jesus. When your priorities are not God's priorities, when your concerns are not your concerns, if the most important thing in your life is how to get a raise, you will not be able to see Jesus. If the most important thing in your life is to be right about everything, you will not be able to see Jesus. If the most important thing in your life is to raise happy, healthy children, you will not see Jesus. Because that is not God's priority. Jesus didn't come down first to give all of those blessings. He came down first for something much more important. And what was that? Why did Jesus come down? What was his priority? Jesus already said it. He came to die. Take a look. To suffer, that he must be killed, and after 3 days rise from the dead. The most important priority that God has is that our sins be forgiven. That someone take the punishment for your sin and you be restored in your relationship with God. And until you understand that the point of Jesus is for you to repent and be forgiven, you cannot see him, at least not fully. And so that's our third point. Jesus makes us see who he is, but not all at once. And this is the last thing I'd like to say. Did Jesus leave that blinded man stranded? No, he didn't. He didn't just partially heal him. And that's because in the end, the blind man, it wasn't about him. It wasn't about his ability to see. It was about Jesus' ability to heal him. And so if you find yourself like me, with the wrong concerns, the wrong priorities, and that's making it difficult to see Jesus, the good news is it doesn't depend on you. It depends on Jesus. He will finish the job he started. Because you see, Peter ended up telling Mark what to write down. This was all written by Peter. He included the bit about him getting everything wrong, because in the end, he did end up seeing. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you help us to see, or rather, that you make us see, that you heal us, that you're greater than us. And we pray that you would open our eyes to see the greatest priority of knowing Jesus is repenting of our sins and being forgiven, and to know him. Please heal us of our blindness. Please rebuke us when we try to bring wrong priorities to you. And thank you that you are our Father in heaven, that you do not give up on your children, because you've adopted them, and that's final. Amen.